Welcome to What's Up in Jeju, where I visit places around the island and talk about what's happening with hashtag Daily K's host, Peter Bint.
Straight into today's topic then. What are we doing? I said it's to do with schools, but not really. Is that right?
That is right. However, these schools are not in operation as you'd expect, just as you said. They are repurposed schools. These are schools that have since closed down, been renovated and rebuilt, undergoing this metamorphization, turning into something completely new, say it be a cafe or a village co-op or even a movie theater.
Oh, that sounds so intriguing. So yeah, in Korea, because we mentioned this many times, the low birth rate and then people moving out from the countryside to the cities, elementary schools are shutting down. And apparently there's a term for them, Paegyo, like Hakgyo is school and Paegyo is closed school. That's quite sad, isn't it?
I mean, it's kind of shocking when you actually break it down with the numbers. So check this out. In 2023, a total of 18 schools across the nation, spanning elementary to middle to high school levels, they ceased operation. But this year, in 2024, 33 schools are scheduled for closure. 33. And in the year 2000, there were 8.1 million students. That was in 2000. Whereas by 2023, the number had dropped to 5.3 million. And even Seoul, as populated as it is, it's not safe from any of this. It's also closing the doors of three schools. So this last year, 18 schools. This year, 33. So, man.
Wow. So repurposing them is a really good idea, rather than just knocking them down and starting from scratch.
It's pretty brilliant, but it also kind of makes sense. Like, you think these buildings, they're logistically located at the center of a town, maybe. It's got history. They're structurally sound, you know, big rooms, maybe a field as well. So it would be a shame to tear these down.
Yeah, absolutely. So which locations are on our itinerary today?
Right. So I was trying to figure out which order is best. So going from part one, we're going to go to a school that is like the most like a school, if that makes sense. And the final part is going to be, you won't even tell it's a school once you're inside. So we're going to stop at Myeongwo Gungmin Hakgyo Cafe or Myeongwo Elementary School Cafe. And it is map time. So I just put all three on here. So part one, that is all the way on the West Coast. That's where we're going first.
Okay, you can see there, west and maybe central, slightly north. And we've got a photo of it first.
Yes,
right?
Let's take a look.
Oh, that looks like a really nice cafe, like change up. But you can see it does look like an old fashioned small school.
They keep the theme there. They say like, okay, class is in session at 11 o'clock that's when it's open. But then they refer to each space as like blah, blah class, blah, blah class. So it just kind of really tries to keep the spirit of the school.
Oh, cool. It must be pretty big as well for a cafe if it's taken over a school.
You're going to see in the video. Right now, this photo kind of looks like it's like a little meh thing, but it's a full-on school. They didn't knock anything down. And, you know, it's really interesting to see when these renovations happen. And what do they do with the space? How do they decide to knock down walls or to keep walls, to keep what to keep, say, flooring or windows? And you'll see it gradually gets even more modern or you know, just major change as we go throughout this episode today.
That was really fascinating, the cafe. Where's our next destination?
Right. So as I said in the beginning, we're going from like the most school-like and now we're kind of in the middle here. And then we're going to, I would say, the least school-like. So this one is pretty cool. This time we're going to Murung Farm, located on the southwest side of the island. Murung Farm is a platform-based market where organic crops grown in this actual Murungni, the village, are delivered monthly to cities on the mainland. So this village enterprise started out as an online subscription service. You would actually like online and it would get delivered like this locally grown goods from this village and you can get it to your front door.
Cool.
That was all online. But in 2014, it also expanded to like an offline market as well, like a physical, tangible place where you go. And that's where we are at in the second part. Since November 2020, the Mudong Village Association has leased the property from the Education Office. This is getting a little Village Ventures here. Together with the Mudong Farming Cooperative and village residents, has transformed it into a complex cultural farm. It functions as a cafe, there's organic crop market, and even an educational center where they teach them cooking classes. Pretty awesome. And additionally, nice. I'd like to highlight the significance of their business name. While the official English name is Mudong Farm, their Korean name is Mudong Uikkakjip, translating to Mudong Granny's House, suggesting that the crops and products are imbued with the care and affection of a, you know, Jeju grandmother.
Oh, Uikkakjip being like your mother's side grandmother, I guess. Mm-hmm. Where hominy? Ah, I see. Yeah. That's cool. Should we check out the video then of Mudong Farm?
Yes, I would like to say we did have a bit of technical difficulty, so there's no audio here. So I'll go ahead and we can talk
what?
Together. Yeah, I know. I know, I know, I know. You know, this I don't have my
Why
smart pad.
Don't
I don't
now,
have sound.
Mark.
I'll see you. This is my last episode.
Right.
Sorry.
Go now to Mudong okay. Farm. No,
oh, yeah.
Go
oh, go.
To the
go.
Farm
okay.
And do a live stream.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't
okay.
be that far. Wait. We didn't see where it is on the map, Mark.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll bring it back. So, hey, I was advised by JY to only do map time one time, by the way, so that's why I didn't bring it up. So, bring it up with the...
Well, listen, okay. don't throw JY under the bus like that, because, yeah, you should have shown it only once, but you didn't point out 2 and 3 when you did
okay.
show it the
okay.
first time.
Can you guys...
Let's not blame JY.
Okay, so here's one. One is where we started on the upper northwest. Now we're going southwest with number
yep.
2. That's where we
are. Ah, okay. Yeah. So heading down, not quite all the way to Sogwipo, but that kind of direction.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
then, all right, we're not going to show map a third time. So number
okay.
3
number 3
is
all the way
on
out
the
east. That's right.
Okie dokie. Wow, that's a lot of traveling that you did for these three locations. Much appreciated, Mark. Here is the audio-less video of Mudong Farm. All right, so...
Okay.
Oh, no, we've got a Jeju Online Walking Festival
yeah.
video instead. But here we go. This is it, I'm assuming.
No, actually, the reason why I showed that clip was because in Jeju Ole 2023, that was where the,
yeah.
the ending festival was actually at that spot.
Oh,
so the,
wow,
we actually
in the
have
field
visited,
there.
Yeah, we actually visited here before in a previous episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't notice this building. I guess it might have not been caught on camera.
Yeah, yeah. I was mainly in the field, but the building was just to the left. And check it out. Same corridor, same hallway, right?
Ah,
goes straight down
so
through
the
school.
The structures of the school.
But now you can see
one
where,
story.
Now you can see where they knocked down walls. Now, this is cool. You see these kind of postcards here? Those are all grown
yeah.
in Jeju. So we've got
mangoes.
You know, mangoes, apple mango, keets, blueberries, kiwi farms. And what I'm saying in this video is like, okay, I could see this for future episodes. Let's go ahead and do some more, I want to say, I don't know, like obscure produce that you wouldn't really think comes from Jeju. Now here's the box
yes,
that shows
a great idea.
That shows the produce of what you actually get when you subscribe. So if you sign up for the year, it's 40,000, but if a one-time deal is 45,000, and you get a box like that, and it'll be like, you know, kind of like a goodie box. You don't really know you don't really know what you're getting. It could be Brussels sprouts, gyul,
wow.
cabbage. Yeah, and that gets, you know, homegrown.
Tomatoes.
Yep.
And they get sent to you every month, okay?
Mm-hmm, that's right. There's other products that they also help out as well. That's called a Chunhyehyang, which is a type of tangerine hybrid. It's a little bit sour, but it's quite delicious. There's a little library there. And then the next part, I think it's going to take us to the actual... Yeah, this is where they teach the cooking classes. They even have ovens.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So there's
They've
baking.
They've got a whole cooking studio there.
They make jam there as well. And that's also a picture of the co-op.
Oh, fabulous. A lot of people involved there, tens of people.
Fun fact, in that photo, that's actually where we did our soundscape episode, was at that front gate in that photo. So that's fun.
Oh, nice. They've got the old sinks
yep.
outside, which many schools have. I don't know about current schools, although my kids do have that as well, to wash their hands and maybe get a drink as well.
Yeah.
Jeju Mudong Farm. If you want to follow it on Insta, underscores between each word.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, fabulous. I mean, elementary schools, I'm guessing in Jeju, were maybe smaller because you, even at the peak of population, maybe had less kids. Because a lot of schools here, even if they were built in like the 70s, they're like 2, 3, 4 stories. My kid's school
yeah.
is 5 stories.
Yeah.
And my son is on the fifth floor, I think, now. Mm-hmm. He's in Yukangyeon, the sixth grade.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He has to walk up those five stories every day and down. And I'm like, wow, you really are young if you're not complaining about that.
Yeah, yeah. I also worked at an elementary school up in Seoul, and I think that was three or four stories. Same thing. The older kids were on top, younger kids towards the bottom. But that's a good point. One thing I noticed about most of these schools here on Jeju, probably due to just the numbers, the population, is generally just single floor schools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in a lot of rural areas on the mainland as well, a lot of them are single floors. Mm. And I don't know, when they're then converted, it's much easier, I guess, to find a business to take that up. Because if it's multiple stories, you'd have to do a lot of maybe different things. But these one-story cafes and now this kind of interesting farm market, mm-hmm. it really suits that kind of rustic vibe, I feel.
Well, let's think about this too, right? You're talking about multiple floors. That makes sense. You have to maybe work with multiple businesses. But remember, if we, remember all of our information from Village Ventures, it's not an easy task, right? Because you have to talk with the village. You have to get permission from the village chief. This is interesting because this second location is a co-op. So it's actually part of the village now, and it directly benefits the village as well. But if you're, say, a business, you know, maybe you're coming in from out of town, something like that. So as we've learned, like I said, from VV, Village Ventures, that you have to get the okay from everybody who lives there, because this is a big deal to them if you want to do something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And so the final school that has undergone the most significant transformation, where are we going? What is it?
So for my last excursion, I visited a smaller space. So it's not really a full-fledged, full-size school, but a former bungyo of an elementary school. Are you familiar with the concept or the term of bungyo, Peter?
No, I don't think I've heard that. What is a bungyo?
Right. So that's literally kind of like a branch school. It refers to a school established separately from the main school. They are typically opened in areas where it's difficult to establish additional schools to provide for educational services. So maybe you kind of move on to a bigger and larger school once you move out of this one. And so this one is transformed into the Kim Young-gap Gallery, located on the east side of the island. And the grounds, there's even like a bit of like kind of a maze between the bushes and sculptures scattered throughout. Ooh, so it's pretty cool.
Nice. And so this is actually of an artist, this gallery. Kim Young-gap is a name.
That is correct. It's a full-on art exhibition hall. It showcases the photographic legacy of Kim Young-gap, who, despite battling Lou Gehrig's disease, captured the beauty of Jeju Island through his works. This gallery immortalizes his passion for Jeju landscapes, depicted in his photographs taken over time in diverse weather conditions, which is great because that's one thing you learn on the island is the weather is all over the place. It can be, you know, you can, we have this expression in Jeju where you say you can live all four seasons in one day here on the island. And that also depends on where you are on the island too. So he captures all of that on his photos. And it opened in 2002, and this gallery was recognized as one of the top 100 destinations to visit in the country in 2015, earning affection for both tourists and locals and artists, of course. And again, he sadly passed away in 2005, but he was able to, you know, enjoy this space while he was still alive.
Yes, so that also shows how long ago these schools were closing down, right? 2002, this was repurposed. And the story of the photographer having Lou Gehrig's and passing away in 2005, I don't know, it makes it very emotional, but like you said, inside definitely doesn't seem like a school.
Yeah, I said in the video, I've been to my fair share of galleries, and it's a very good gallery. It was just a shame. I just wanted to stay there longer because, you know, when you're done, you're just like, well, it's a bummer that we can't just hang around, you know. I guess you could. Yeah. We didn't have our tea. Maybe we should have had some tea and coffee there.
Yeah, Jenga saying, I'm jealous though, because we didn't have time to go to Jeju when we were in Korea. Eong, one of our Korean listeners, saying, I'm studying English on the way to work, and Jeju Island is beautiful. If you come to Korea, you got to visit there. And yeah, next time in Jeju, I want to go to one of these repurposed schools. I can't for the life of me remember what the thing was repurposed to, the school that I went.
I think your family would really get a kick out of the first one we went to, the Myeongwal one, where it's like the most, as I said, the most school-like, because one thing that I noticed when we pulled up in our car is people getting out of their cars were like three-generation families. You had the grandparents, the parents, and the kids, and they all got out together, and all of them were excited. Because, like I said, we talked about they had the old school Korean games. They even have the snacks, like the old style jelly and everything. And a lot of the toys and kites were old style. And I think you'd have a lot of fun with your family.
Yeah, I would get completely fleeced by the kids wanting to buy all of those goodies there, I'm sure. Mark, thank you so much for this really intriguing tour. What a theme. You'll be back next week.
I'll be here. I'll be here. Thanks, man.
What's Up in Jeju is supported by the JDC, which is creating a free international city that resembles nature, embraces the future, and reaches the world. I'm Mark Wilson Che, with writer Choi Jung-yun. This is Arirang Radio.